Thank you.
Can I ask, as I recall, Les, about the number one thing, we did have online voting, but as I remember, it was a company that was doing this at a tremendously reduced cost as an, you know, the sort of a trial run.
Yep.
And it would have cost a tremendous amount if we had been able back to them the second year.
That is the other point. But even if costs were reasonable, mm-hmm. and, you know, we at this point, I don't know. I mean, there are, you know, places like Metronet that would be willing to work with us, even if it were. My main argument would be there is a trust factor involved, and it just doesn't seem that we should go that route for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Are there other questions?
Can I just ask Les a quick question regarding what he said? May I?
Please.
This is Rob. Les, what's the difference between that and trusting that the documentation for the algorithm that's counting the thing is actually what's counting the thing?
Oh, because at least the documentation, it's like when people here wrote in and they looked at the totals and said, there was one comment in particular who just kept hammering at this, I don't understand this. I could actually sit down, you know, with with the votes and with the ballots and the algorithm, and that person can go through that and actually even physically, you know, pile these things up so that there's some reasonable sense that this matches. When you're dealing with internet voting, you're dealing with trusting that the server end is accurate. You don't have quite the physical, you know, when I vote, because our internet voting was at home. So when I vote, I'm trusting that that server is taking my vote. When you're physically sending something in, that at least is there. You have that number of votes, and you can, you know, it's a lot of work, but you can count, and you can do sample counting of this. Also, you can look at the algorithm, compare it with what's ground out, and make sure that it, in fact, is working. We did that and found that there was a problem, as a matter of fact, in the first election with other stations.
The voting medium is more remote, Les, but documenting whether or not the algorithm that's counting the votes in an STV software system and whether or not your internet vote is being tabulated properly are really quite analogous. I mean,
that's true.
So while you say the trust factor is an issue, it's an issue in both of them. And the only thing that really makes it more demonstrable in internet voting is there's this physical distance.
Right.
So, but all I'm saying is I really don't think that the trust issue is significantly different. It's just that the perception is more palpable because you have space in between.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, but the problem is the perception when you're dealing with elections often becomes something very major. I think the thing about the transparency of the algorithm is something that has to be dealt with, but I think it can be dealt with much easier than the other perception. The fact is that if you have somebody dishonest running the server, there are things that can be done which are much, much more difficult to... I mean, that's where the trust factor comes in. Because if I'm running a server, which I have, I can dock things. I can, I can manipulate things. So I have to be trusted that I'm not going to do that. And if I do manipulate things, it gets very, very difficult. I mean, we have the same problem at the stations. We're using a database program that has no history. Because it has no history, I can go in and change things if I get the password, and you don't know that they've been changed. That's true today. That is not a good thing. That is not transparency. But that is the database that's being used right now. A database without history is not a good database. Most professional databases all have histories, so it'll tell you, it'll document. If I go in and put a name in or change a name or change an address or something, it'll document, here's the date it's been changed. That's not true with the database we're using. So when we're talking about internet voting, to me it's somewhat the same way. Somebody can actually go in there and change things, and you won't know it. And that's the problem with it. Now, you know, that's pretty remote if you're dealing with somebody who, you know, is as neutral as possible in this type of thing. And there are ways, I agree with you that there are ways of checking on how that server is operating. There are things that can be done. It's just that the perception is really important. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Les?
Yeah.
Didn't you say, though, too, that you wanted, that one of the goals would be to actually provide the actual algorithm, which is not that high power. People could, I mean, it can be running on DOS. People could enter this thing in their computer if they're so inclined.
Absolutely.
And they can actually check it out. And MathWizzes can actually do small samples just with the, without any, you know, using the algorithm and without putting it in just by hand.
Right.
You know, so that it does, I think, in answer to what Rob's saying, that gives you more security than just putting something on the internet where you have no way of even doing a random spot check or seeing if you're in the ballpark or anything.
Well, where Rob is right is that you actually can do that, you know, as long as you don't have a nefarious person running the server who's actually, you know, like like if they did this actually in the Philippines once. I knew somebody who was, you know, part of the investigation there. Where, you know, if people voted for somebody other than Marcos, every other vote, you know, was switched. Of course, then you have to trust the programmers, and it turns out there that the programmers were not very enthusiastic, and they blew the whistle on this. But if you actually have some people doing that, it is possible. I mean, that's, you know, that's the nature of computers. And, you know, I don't think it's likely. I think it's, you know, and from the average person's point of view, there's no more way of checking on that algorithm. I'm talking about the average person who says, I'm really confused about algebra, and now you're asking me to go through this algorithm. For that average person, there probably is no difference between the internet voting in terms of transparency and the algorithm. But I'm saying that there can, you know, that it is at least accessible to people. And that's the key thing. It's not like everybody should be able to investigate the Ohio elections. It's just that it should be possible for a group that's concerned to hire their people, and they should be able to go through that trail, and things should be absolutely clear that there's physical paper and a physical trail that can be followed by people who understand this stuff. That's really essential in this, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
I'm curious if, Rob, does that answer your questions, Rob? Do you still have questions? Because I remember I had seen that you had various questions along the way, so.
Well, my major issue was that I wanted to make sure were that there had to be some kind of software documentation so that we could check the algorithms, because in the first election, I'm not sure that was available. And the other thing is just that I would like to see something that details, there are about 9 or 10 different proportional representation voting systems, and they tend to work differently for different types of organizations and different voting criteria. So I just think one of the things we ought to do is try to get some sort of listing that contrasts, you know, single transferable voting versus, you know, some of these other systems.
I think that's a really good idea. I mean, because it you know, this whole voting thing does make a difference. And
The only other cable I have is using STV and IRV, where we're doing stuff like selecting one of two people to be on a committee. I think. In some cases in the bylaws, we've carried that into committee issues where it renders simple things unnecessarily complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So may I ask how we would, are you wanting a demonstration or something of each? Or how would we proceed?
Well, I know what we did here. I'm not sure if you were at that. What we did here with some of the meetings was to actually go through, take a like our pizza exercise and do it using different electoral methods. There were slight differences. And I think we can do something like that, set up a sample. It has to be relatively simple, relatively clear, and show what the pluses and minuses of the different methods are. I mean, I think that can be done. It has to be done at some point. It hasn't been done very clearly. There are books on this, but they're the ones I've read are, you know, meant to be much more mathematical.
Patty?
What we need to do is to take stuff like that and simplify it.
Okay, Patty?
I keep hearing, like, all these methods. Can you just, like, just say a couple, like, what their difference or what, just a brief little description of a couple, how they're different from the one we use? Like, what's different?
Oh, the trouble is there are really a large number. I can give... It'd be better if I gave concepts rather than go through the methods, because to go through the methods is to go through the algorithm. There are some methods that rate not just how you like a particular person, but also there's two other things. One is the depth of it. So, for example, if one person is voting and looks at three candidates, they say, you know, all three are pretty good. Another person looks and says, I only want number one, you know, and maybe I can stick with number two. Number three, I really don't want. You want to give that person a negative vote. In our system, you only give positive votes. So if you really like number one and not two or three, you vote for one, and, you know, you don't have any alternative. There are methods where you can actually give a negative vote to a person. And you know, that causes some difference. So those are the kinds of things. It's how you weight the vote that you give, how you split it. And as you know, as Rob said, there's a large number of methods. People have spent a lot of time looking at this, trying to come up with stuff. I don't think it's worthwhile going much into it now. I think it is worthwhile listing the methods, giving some samples, and just showing people what they are. And I would say there's three or four that are dominant. And you know, if people, and then give some readings, if people want to go to web pages and stuff, they can look at it. But there's three or four different dominant ones that could be looked at.
This is Wendy.
And there's all kinds of different methods that are used worldwide in terms of proportional representation voting. There are mixtures. So, for example, you have, you know, some candidates voted on majoritarian, a minority voted on majoritarian rule, and, you know, those would be, say, the officers, and then the rest are voted STV. You know, that's another method. Then your officers are majoritarian, but the board isn't.
Oh, man, we can never handle that. Hey, this is Wendy. Can I ask a question?
Please. Yes.
Hey, Les, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but one thing that has come up several times on our own LSB, you know, who had a very hard time trusting this system, and people tried to say that the order in which the ballots are counted has something to do with the answer. And you know, where I got, you know, I understand the fraction thing. Because we looked at this, you know, those examples where they, you know, they say you got a bunch of bins, you know, and you put them
in each bin.
So in those examples, I think, yeah, it would matter which order you counted them in. But I thought it was, you know, the transferal of fractional votes that actually made it. So it wouldn't matter if you, no matter what way you counted them. You know what I'm talking about?
It makes no difference how you count them.
Okay.
It does make no difference how you count them. I mean, I have to prove that. Stating it doesn't prove it, and I think we have to go back to some of Rob's questions.
You mean your choice of
stating that? But I am stating that I can prove it. It makes no difference how you count them. We have, you know, we've run the STV both ways. I mean, the way it runs now, if you look at it, you take the, you could reverse the order as to whether you take the person first who has an excess of votes, or you take the person who is being eliminated. It really makes no difference. It amounts to exactly the same thing with the algorithm, because you're just going through the bins anyway.
Right.
This is Ted from Houston. I'd like to say something real quick.
Oh, please.
Les, we just recently had a recommendation out of a committee having to do with the program director in Houston, and there was a very strong split within the committee, and the majority won that particular election to recommend to the general manager a particular slate of candidates to run for or to be selected for the program director. So while we're talking about board elections, I think it's worthwhile, and I'd like your input on this, to throw into the hopper the question of recommendations of program directors to general managers and whether STV or just majority vote should be the approach.
That's been raised. I have looked at the bylaws. The bylaws doesn't really answer that because when you're talking about a committee and you're not talking about an elected body, and I would argue that the bylaws don't cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have an opinion on it? I'm not sure because you're dealing with a small group of people. I have to say I don't have an opinion. I really don't.
You don't have to get deep on me. I think it's more that I put this idea out for everybody's consideration.
Yeah.
It's sort of actually inappropriate, Ted.
Well, except it does get to the small when you have a very small group.
I understand, but we're talking about elections. We're not talking about recommending candidates for
right and committee stuff. Yeah.
This is Lauren. May I just ask Les to, we talked again, you know, the point you had made about the argument, the somewhat frivolous argument that people have made in order to discredit the election, saying that a candidate only got 300 votes. And if you just go through that, the basic and, explanation on exactly, you know, what STV tries to deliver in terms of a democratic or small d process and allowing the various communities to have a representative to a body like an LSB that has the 24 elected members, or
yeah.
Actually 18 listener reps.
Yeah, again, the basic struggle here is whether it's majoritarian or proportional representation. The method of proportional representation really isn't a factor. Every proportional representation method means that it's a small group of people that get to elect, a sizable small group of people who get to elect a representative, which basically means if you have 24 seats, that you take the vote and you divide it, you know, into 24. So that's what you do, essentially. And then each group can say, I so strongly want my representative on that board that I will throw all my votes, let's say my 300 votes. We as a group will throw our 300 votes for our one representative. That's one representative. That's not 24. And then there's going to be other constituencies. The only alternative to that is that the majoritarian, that, you know, 2,500 people or 3,000 people get to vote and elect the entire board, disenfranchising every other group of people, regardless of whether their ideas are good or whether we want their income or, you know, their input or not. So this is the struggle, and people who do not understand that it's really important to have diverse voices, because that means all those diverse groups are now taking a responsibility for the governments of the station. And I will argue that ultimately, with all the struggles that have gone on, ultimately, if you look, for example, at KPFA from the first board on, that things that people finally understand that they're going to have to deal with diverse communities, and the election process itself starts becoming a very, very different thing. It becomes something where you are fighting for something, not
just a second, Carolyn. It's good to hear you here. Thank you. Would you please continue, Les? Carolyn just came on.
Sure.
Thank you.
That you're fighting for some ideas, not against, because what you want to do is to get as many of these other votes on your side as possible in order for you to win that one seat. But it is just one seat. It's not the whole board. And so the idea of a small group of people electing the board, no, a small group of people elects one person on the seat, but it's a sizable group. It's not insignificant. It's a sizable group that represents a lot of listener activists in the community. They should have a representation on the board. It's reasonable.
You know, someone else just kind of summed it up in one sentence that wasn't bad. They said, well, each person on the board was elected by a different 400, or in KPFT's case, 100 people, you know. So,
right.
Therefore, it is a lot more than 400 or 100.
Absolutely.
That
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
To have a majority vote, I mean, another way to approach this is to have a majority vote on the board. What you have to do, in our case, say, it's 300 votes. What you're talking about is taking 3,600 votes it takes to pass a resolution. That's a different way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
So
yeah,
when you are, I mean, I guess that would be, you know, for those who look just at the number of votes, to have a board take a decision, if for example, each person were elected by, you know, 100 votes, in order to have a majority, you need 13 votes. That's 1,300 votes
mm-hmm.
to pass a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is
okay. Carolyn, Les has done a talk, and we've asked a number of questions. Are there any questions that perhaps you had in mind when we invited Les?
I'm sorry, I missed it. I'll have to listen on the audio. Hi, Les.
Yeah.
Hi.
I'll listen on the audio, though. Maybe, you know, we could ask you back again if we have a whole lot of questions that come up afterwards.
Okay. Are there any other points or questions people would like to make? Okay.
Well, I'd like to ask him a question.
Oh, please.
Richard. In the last Berkeley election, a particular group won 6 out of 9 seats. How many? What does that mean about how many votes they had to get?
Just 6 times 300.
Okay, so if there was 300, in other words, they had to get 2/3 of the vote to get that many seats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, Les, I certainly appreciate you coming in. I think, you know, it's always great to hear the discussions from a political viewpoint that a number of us, that I think most of us share when we talk about issues or problems or any other type of issue, I guess, that we need to handle or to attack. And certainly appreciate the political discussion with this.
Actually, you know what? It was a mathematical discussion, which is even better. Right.
Right. Right. So, thank you very much, and hopefully you'll be available if we'd want to talk to you again.
Anytime, as you know.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks,
Bye.
Les.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's good. It's always great to learn something new. Or to reinforce thoughts that are in an incubation stage, but come out. But anyway, so we've gone through the unfinished business, and now we'd like to go to new business. And just for your sake, Carolyn, just want to let you know that we added to new business, there were issues that Ted had wanted to bring forward, two matters versus issues. And the one was excluding people elected in the most recent LSB elections from elections to fill vacancies. And the other was the individuals appointed to public offices serving on LSBs. So we've added that to the end of the new business, and the agenda was accepted. So next, what I'd like to do, does anyone need to take a break or ready to move forward?
Excuse me, did we cover the audit at each station that was 4D? I didn't think we did that. I thought we were waiting.
Yes, we did. What we said is that as we go through the motions, and if the audits are germane to any of those motions, and then we'll discuss it at that time. I believe it is in a couple of the motions and or the report, and we would discuss it at that time.
Oh, I thought we were just waiting for Carolyn to get.
No. We're waiting for Carolyn on the resolutions implementation, but. But we can either move forward to new business, or we can ask Carolyn to kind of discuss the item 4B on the agenda.
No, it sounds like a solution that you
prepared to do that.
To deal with it as it comes up. That makes good sense because there's some overlap there.
Okay, great. Cool. Okay, so now on the... Carolyn, would you like to take over?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, well, I can understand. Let me just say one thing. I lived in Rochester, New York for 3 years. So when I make these jokes about Buffalo, it's because I've lived through it.
Shuffle down to Buffalo?
Well, I have to say that the hard part was getting here from JFK. It took me longer to get here from JFK than it took to get from Buffalo to JFK.
Okay, so now we go to new business, step 5 on the agenda. The first motion, shall I read it? It's motion A is resolved that the chair issue a statement of thanks to Stephen Walker of Election Services Corporation for his presentation on August 21st regarding his company's administration of mailing, voting, tallying, and other services in support of elections. Is there any discussion?
So moved.
Why do we have a resolution on that? Yes, I vote for it, yes.
No objection, let's move on, come on.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, great. You have that recorded, Mary?
Yes.
Mary?
I do, yes.
Great, thank you. Okay, motion B, I will read that. That a work group be formed to invite 2 election administration consultants to our November meeting to discuss their services, and that the election committee request proposals from one or more of these 3 companies by December 1st, 2005 to help administer the 2006 PNB elections. Any discussion?
PNB election or LSB election?
I suppose Carolyn should so move on that.
Yes, thank you. I put that in because we're a little bit behind schedule, but we do need to get to hear from other companies and then get a bid. So I'm at the elections for delegates. I call that the PNB elections.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
No, you mean the delegates, election of delegates, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
Pacifica elections.
Well, or PNB delegate election or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Shall we change the wording? Is that the request, Mary?
Yes.
Well, I think maybe since people had questions, I think that would be clear. I mean, our bylaws refer to electing delegates, so.
Okay, so we want to say the 2006 PNB delegate elections.
Yeah. Let's strike PNB.
Yeah.
Just say delegate.
Yeah.
Election for delegates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just change it to Pacifica election or something.
Yeah, you would need to have Pacifica in there. Or you can keep PNB and just add delegate after PNB.
No.
How about Pacifica Foundation?
Well,
sorry. Yes, Mary, that's fine. Okay, so is there any other discussion on that? Shall we move this?
Sounds good.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Okay. So we'll go to motion C. And motion C, Mary, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, resolve that a task force of 3 or more members of the election committee refine a job description for the national and local elections supervisors for consideration by the entire committee at its next regular meeting, or if feasible, at a special meeting call for that purpose as soon as the descriptions are ready. Is there a discussion?
Fine with me.
Are they talking about the regular meeting of this committee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Terry.
Okay.
Terry,
the motion is carried, right?
Terry on the stack?
Yeah, that recording.
I thought he was speaking.
Levarne, can't you hear Terry?
I thought he said Carrie. Oh, please, no. Terry.
Terry wanted to speak to
you. No, I'm sorry. I thought you said
just
Carrie.
Point of information, the work group will be coordinated over the elections listserv.
I presume.
Is Carolyn, may I speak?
Yes.
I think actually we did have a work group and we didn't get anything done on this, so I'm embarrassed to say I think I was on that group.
Oh, right.
So we might want to go back to that, or if people would like to volunteer, you know, to work on that. But there were a few people. And anyone else would be very welcome, because obviously we haven't been able to get that finished.
But Terry, this is Mary. I thought you were asking, is it going to be coordinated via the listserv?
Right, right.
No matter whether it's the same people or more people.
Yeah,
I think Carolyn was just giving a little information about it. But Carolyn, do you plan to do that, Ben, to coordinate it?
All right, that's fine. If anyone else would like to join that group, or the same people who are on it would like to not join it, you know, we can do that on the list. That's a good idea.
Okay, great. So we'll expect to hear from you sometime like next week or to start. Okay.
Mary Berger, can we just write, can people who are interested just so indicate on the listserv? I mean, Carolyn doesn't have to put something out since we're on this call, except for Serene, but everybody else is here.
Right, and that's why she's going to coordinate it. That's true.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you would need to know, okay, send it in at
so
a certain time.
So we'll just
time,
let you know if we're interested.
So she'll have it at a certain time, so she'll know when to expect it. And then she can do that. That'll be real quick and simple. Unless you want to just...
at least three people will
do people want to, like, volunteer at this point?
Yeah.
Okay, Mary, are you volunteering, Mary?
Yeah.
Okay, we have Mary. Is there anyone else?
Well, I'll
okay, so then we'll allow the others when Carolyn send the information out again so that Serene and the others will have an opportunity to join. But right now we have Carolyn and Mary. Thank you. So we're going to move on motion C. So there are no discussions, so the motion carries, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you. So we'll go to motion D. Are we prepared? Resolve that the proposed report to the PNB shall be approved as amended and distributed to the PNB at the public meeting in October. Report appended to this agenda. Has everyone had an opportunity to look at the report?
Yes.
Are there any is there discussion?
Once it's moved, then it'll be open to amendment. I have some amendments.
Okay. So, okay. So in this point, I guess I move that we that the motion shall pass. That we move.
I move that the motion shall pass.
Sorry. I'm sorry, I'm trying to do more than one thing at one time. Let me just...
Laverne, if you're the chair, I'll move it. Okay, I move approval of your report.
Okay, I move for approval. Okay, I move for approval of the report.
No, Wendy's doing it.
Yes,
sorry?
Doing it.
Objection.
You're the chair.
Okay.
Wendy's doing it, Terry's objecting.
Okay, well, let's...
Well, actually, that, if I may, as is counted on committees, I think chairs actually can... move.
Okay,
groovy.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll be quiet.
Yes. Okay, so let's go into discussion since Terry, is that Terry who objects?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a number of suggested amendments, some of which would require discussion and some of which there would be no objection to.
Okay, let's just make sure everyone has, I'm trying to find, make sure I have mine here. Okay.
Terry, have you sent those out at all, or you, this is, if I looked, would I find them?
No, I don't think you would.
Okay.
I was working on it as getting ready for the call.
Okay.
Okay, so...
On number two in the report.
It went out at
57 a.m. Can I just interject for a second? On the first page, the draft report... For PFW, may we add, PFW first.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Okay, now, Terry, would you proceed, please?
Okay, down after the cover sheet.
I'm sorry, did someone join the call? I thought I heard a bubble.
I know, I heard something. I don't know.
I'm sorry to interrupt you again, Terry, but I had a question. Has Carol been elected by WPFW, or is she
assisting as from the beginning, simply to fill in because we had no one else except Rob from there.
Rob, can you answer that?
So we had an election.
Hello?
Yes, you're there.
Did you ask me something?
Yes, we are.
I wanted to know if Carol, if W had had an election, and Carol Wolf is officially with us. That's very good.
I believe that Carol agreed. The board voted, as I recall, Carol can correct me if I'm wrong, that she would serve in this capacity until other people came forward.
Okay,
and if they don't, then she'll continue serving. And that was the will of the board.
And whatever it is, I so want to thank Carol for joining this committee. This is awesome. Thank you very much.
It is. It's awesome and wonderful.
Okay. So now we can, Terry, are you prepared to proceed?
Well, I've been prepared.
Okay. Now we're prepared too, so please.
Okay. Number two, revision of elections timetable proposal. I asked for a quote to be added to the end of that resolution.
And that quote is? At the very end. Okay.
Yeah, there's an open quote.
Okay.
I asked that it be closed.
Closing on August 25th, there should be a quote at the end.
Right.
Okay, I have
and
that.
You're like doing this with a straight face, right?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm right. Go ahead, please.
Okay. With regard to item 4, 5, and 6, the motions to censure Shireen Roberts, because when a report is approved by the PMB, they are accepting resolutions.
Carol Wolf.
There could be a perception at the PMB meeting that we wanted them to vote to censure Shireen Roberts. And that could impede approval of the report. So I'm moving that a new item 4 substitute for items 4, 5, and 6 with the text as follows. It would keep the same heading, Censure of Elections Committee Member Shireen Roberts, August 21st, 2005. But rather than a resolution, we would just have a report as follows. During its teleconference meeting of August 21st, 2005, the committee voted 3 times to censure member Shireen Roberts for speaking out of order. PMB adoption of this Elections Committee report would be naming this member in its records as an initial step in progressive discipline.
Let's see if I have this.
So, do we want to have discussion on your changes, or do you want to go through all of them?
Mary.
Please.
If I have this language.
Wait a minute. Let me just let him answer this question, and then we can proceed.
Yeah, I think I should yield for discussion of this proposed amendment.
Okay, and then Mary would like you to repeat it so she can get the language. Could you?
Right. And I have this in a document that I can send.
Oh, okay. Well, at the end, does it say, there's 3 times voted to censure a member?
Right.
And the naming of the member would constitute, let's see, that's the part I don't get. We're not naming the member because just that last phrase I don't have.
PMB adoption of this Elections Committee report would be naming this member in its records as an initial step in progressive discipline.
All right, so we'd like to open it up for discussion.
So you'll send me that, right? Because I'm still.
Yes,
yeah.
He said he'd send it to you.
Okay.
So we'd like to ask the committee members if there's any discussion on this proposed wording and change of.
Actually, it's not. As a person who was in attendance at that meeting, I think that that's an understatement.
Ditto.
As a person who tried to hear it later, ditto again.
Yeah, I
know. Yelling.
Can I get on stack?
Wait,
and Carolyn here.
Do we have another? Do we have anyone else who'd like to get on the stack?
Carolyn.
Carolyn. Okay. Richard. Yeah. Carolyn.
Yeah, I would say that saying spoke out of turn is, you know, sort of like saying there was a problem with the election in Florida. 2000. I mean, she continued to batter the chair when the chair tried to calm her down.
Hey, point of order?
So I don't know.
Yeah?
Well, I don't see the relevance of discussing what it was at this point.
Right.
Why not?
Well, I mean, the issue isn't do we want to go back and revisit that vote. The issue is what do you say in the report?
Mm-hmm.
No, but my issue, Wendy, is that what we're saying here isn't doesn't accurately reflect what the censure was about.
Okay, so you want to change the wording.
Okay, so there is other language that you'd like to use on the change that Terry had suggested.
Yes.
So could you we're going to let Carolyn speak, and could you kind of like gather that, and then we can come back to you?
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask Terry what the initial step in progressive discipline statement would do that the 3 months.
May I respond to both issues?
Yes, please.
Okay. My substitute resolution uses the language speaking out of order, specifically because that is the language in the three resolutions that were adopted by the committee. The first resolution censured her for speaking out of order numerous times. The second motion was repeatedly spoken out of order. The third resolution stated, repeatedly speaks out of order. So actually, if there's no objection, I will change the language to more accurately reflect the resolutions that were passed and insert the word repeatedly speaking out of order.
That would be fine with me. Thank you.
The other issue was regarding, question was regarding progressive discipline. In progressive discipline, typically the chair asks the member to come to order, the chair asks the member to come to order, and if that hasn't worked, then the chair names the member and has the behavior that is being admonished entered into the record of the meeting as the first formal step in progressive discipline. Then if other issues come up where the member is named in the records of the body as an admonishment, then the multiple incidents can be evidence for more severe discipline, such as a vote of censure.
I see. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay,
does
that clarify?
Yeah, that clarifies the process for me. Thank you.
Okay, so do you want to read the number four again, such as the amended?
During its teleconference meeting of August 21st, 2005, the committee voted three times to censure member Serene Roberts for repeatedly speaking out of order. CMB adoption of this election committee report would be naming this member in its records as an initial step in progressive discipline.
Is there any other discussion? Mary?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
We're not naming the member in your language. So when you say the PNB would be naming the member, how does the P... I mean...
No, we are naming
probably
the
a
member.
Stupid question, but you don't have the name of the person
I
in
do.
Your language.
I do.
In the resolution.
In that header.
No, in the language.
Oh,
during,
then...
Of the report. During its teleconference meeting of August 21st,
yeah.
2005... The committee voted three times to censure member Serene Roberts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't
hear... For repeatedly speaking out of order.
Okay, I didn't hear the Serene Roberts. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay.
I have a question. This is Wendy.
Please.
Why do we want to ask the PNB to approve that at all? It's what happened. I don't understand the significance of because I could see what could happen if, you know, everybody except the people on this committee who weren't there just said, well, we don't like you saying that, then they could like vote against our report and or have to amend our report. I don't understand why we would say this in
and ask them to approve it.
May I respond to that?
Yes.
Carolyn here. Yes, I just listed all of the motions that we had passed. I went through all of our minutes and pulled out everything that we had voted on. And these three motions were there. I didn't feel I could leave it out. And I think that Terry's restatement does address the possibility that you that you bring up. So I would approve Terry's motion on that grounds, Wendy, because I think it's a valid point. But I don't think we can leave out any reference at all to one of our motions. We passed three motions.
I know, but my point is, it's just a comment. You know, here's what we did.
Well,
the report
had to include all of the motions we passed. I didn't think we had a choice in that.
Lavarne, can I be on the stack? This is Richard.
Sure. I'm sorry. Carolyn, are you through?
Yes, I'm through. Thank you.
Wendy?
Yeah, I guess I'm through.
Okay, Richard.
I agree with you, Wendy.
Richard?
I think it's important, primarily because I was there.
Catch it!
Excuse me?
That must be Melinda. We got the Astros in the World Series right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's the first time I've ever been interrupted by that comment.
Damn, we don't have any fun here, Richard, at all.
Okay.
No, I mean, I've had lots of other comments.
We should go to Texas.
Not catch it.
We need to go to Texas.
Anyway, as a baseball fan, I can appreciate that. And let me just get back to my point.
I thought my mute button was on.
Oh.
It wasn't.
Oh, sorry.
He caught it. We're going to do a program later with the election committee outtakes. You know, like they do on a TV program.
Right.
Absolutely.
All the things that were said by people when they thought their mute button was on.
Right.
And all the dishes they were washing, too.
Right, all those dishes.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, let me get back to this point. The point is that I think it should be noted, because of the nature of it and the repetitiveness of it and the gross disrespect to the chair that was there. And so it's on the record in case it happens in some other committee by the same person. They don't have to start from scratch and see, well, this is the first time it's ever been done. Now we don't have to deal with it. If it never happens again, it's no big deal. But I think it just makes a record that, you know, this person was very disruptive in this committee on this day. And so if it comes up again, then, you know, it's like, okay, this wasn't your first time. You know, you got to stop this stuff, and maybe it gets dealt with as Terry said, with a mind to progressive discipline. It's just a matter of keeping the record accurate so that people that are working throughout the system, you know, when these things happen, they're noted.
Mary Berg, can I be on the stack?
Please, yes.
Oh, nobody ahead of me? Oh.
No,
well, I had the same question. I mean, I understand what Richard is saying, but maybe I am very dense and this may be a dumb question, because Terry says putting it on means the PNB may think we're inviting them to do something, but rather than invite them to do something, reporting on it is one thing. It should be in the record, and I agree with that. But I'm not sure I want to go and ask the PNB to start the first steps of a procedure for disciplinary action against this person. I think that escalates it a whole notch higher. And I think it could have very adverse consequences. So I would really rather just report it. I get the sense from Terry that it's not possible. If we put it in, I mean, yes, it happened, and we should record that it happened for the reasons Richard said. But
I think you are moving to
let it go there.
I think you are moving to strike the second sentence.
Well, I'm not really doing that without some information, because I will defer to your knowledge about these things. If we report it, does it automatically mean, unless we put in a disclaimer, that we're asking the board to do something? Is it possible for us to report on it, my question is, and specifically indicate we're not asking for anything to happen, simply just report on it?
Yes. The second sentence is not necessary.
Oh.
Okay, so would you read that again, Terry?
No, okay. Well, then I would move to strike that last clause.
Right. That's in order.
Okay.
Okay, so would you read it again, Terry, please?
Okay. In effect, this is a motion to substitute with the language, during its teleconference meeting of August 21st, 2005, the committee voted three times to censure member Serene Roberts for repeatedly speaking out of order. It would strike the following language: PNB adoption of this elections committee report would be naming this member in its records as an initial step in progressive discipline. Striking the language would not change the fact.
Okay, is there more additional discussion? Okay. Would you continue? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Are there other changes?
We can vote on the amendment.
Okay.
I think we're...
Unless there's no objection.
No objection.
Are there? Is there? An objection? Okay, there doesn't appear to be an objection. So,
So it's the motion as amended is on the floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's no objection. Okay. Mary?
Okay, so that's so we have that motion that's adopted without...
Yeah.
Without objection. That's what, yeah, that's what I wrote.
Okay, great. Okay, are there other changes to the report?
Yes.
Terry?
Okay, the next item, which would be renumbered, was the rescinded motion of September 18th. Including the text of that motion in the report leaves the PMB wondering if they are accepting and then rescinding that motion, because it is being reported as a resolution in the report. So what I'm moving is that we substitute for that renumbered to number 5 with the heading Uniform Definition of Unpaid Staff, August 21st, 2005. The Elections Committee adopted a resolution at its August 21, 2005 teleconference meeting, comma, which it later rescinded by unanimous consent on September 18, comma, favoring the substitute reported as resolution number 3, comma, above, period.
Oh,
okay,
I think that's much better, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
My pen just stopped writing, and I've got another one, but can you send me that, Terry, or do you...
Yeah, and I can read it again without pauses.
Okay.
So we would just be reporting rather than giving the text of a resolution as follows.
Yeah.
The Elections Committee adopted a resolution at its August 21st, 2005 teleconference meeting, which it later rescinded by unanimous consent on September 18th, favoring the substitute reported as resolution number 3 above.
Mm-hmm.
I will second that if it needs a second.
Is there further discussion?
Favoring adopting? Is that what you said? At a later meeting.
Terry, could you just do that one more time for Mary?
No, just that part. Just that question.
Yeah.
Favoring the adoption.
Favoring the substitute reported as resolution number 3, comma, above.
Yeah, it was just the words that favoring them.
And then subsequent numbers, subsequent resolutions in the report would have to be renumbered.
Right.
To reflect the earlier changes.
Right.
And I don't have any other specific amendments. I'll mention that the dates in the next resolution on the RFP for database.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we passed, but there's an October 1st deadline that we'll have a problem with. So I'll yield the floor.
Is there a discussion? Okay, so we need to renumber, so that's now number 6, RFP for database audit.
Right.
I believe it's number 4.
No, number
four. No, the center is still number 4.
Yeah. 5, I'm sorry, it's 5.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so uniform definition is just going to be a line, not a numbered item. What Terry just read.
It can be five.
Yeah, so that's five. So then this would be six.
Yeah, the RFP for the database audit.
Right. Okay, so Carolyn, could you go ahead? So it's the question is about the date.
Oh, the question of whether or not we want to change the date. Well,
I see. Yes, of course.
Since we passed it, yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'd have to amend it or something.
That's
right.
That's a scrivener's error.
Well,
excuse me, this is Rob. I'm going to have to get off the call, so
okay.
I apologize for leaving, but have a good night and good luck.
And thank you, Rob, and
Rob.
We'll see you next week. I mean, this week.
Thank you.
Good. We're here.
Okay, so at time check, it's 7:19. So what is the proposed date, Carolyn? Or do you have one?
Well, we didn't say November, did we? Yeah, we did. December 1st, I believe.
Do we want to just change them to respectively November and December instead of October and November?
Now, I think that the first resolve was that the PMV shall request that by December 1st the ED put out an RFP, and that by November 1st we provide the ED with information to do that. That's also going to be very tight.
Wait a second now.
The first October 1st, I would now suggest that we change to December 1st.
December, yes.
December 1st, and then perhaps November 15th, the second one that we provide the Elections Committee, which shall be provided by November 15th. That gives us a little breathing space.
Okay,
15. I see what you're saying.
Terry, does that address? Do
you think we should just have a parenthetical note after the item indicating as amended today.
Okay.
What's this now?
We should note that we amended that resolution. Parenthetically, and give the date of its amendment.
Resolution amended all we amended is the dates.
Right.
It's still
so
a change.
Shouldn't we just say that?
Well, you could say that we amended
dates
the
dates. Dates have been updated by amendment or something?
Something.
That sounds good.
Yeah, resolution amended October.
Dates amended on December,
yeah.
October 23rd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then the June 6, 2005 becomes number 7. Are there any changes there, Terry?
I'm not paying attention.
And why not?
Well, I have 7. I mean,
I'm mailing
because...
to Mary.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so I don't
it
believe there...
Be 7.
So, Mary?
Hmm? Yeah?
You said that
there
were
7
changes that you would like to... in the report?
I'm just making sure. I read it before, but I was doing a lot of multitasking. I think it's fine. I don't think I had any changes other than the ones, the dates. Yeah, and so I think it's fine.
May I speak to the issue?
Please.
Terry, do you think you could mail that language of your motions to the list?
Yeah.
Can you mail
yeah.
It to
let me.
Thank you.
Let me see.
That'd be good.
Thank you.
Then everybody sees if that's what they thought they...
Okay. So if we go back to Motion D, did we adopt this
audits thing.
I'm sorry? I didn't make notes. So on the proposed report to the PNB, we have approved the report?
Seems to be.
Can I ask a
discussion?
Laura Wolf, my phone ran out of batteries, and I just wanted to ask if my name got added to the list.
Oh, dear.
Yes,
it did, Carol. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, so, again, so are there any other discussion on the report?
Well, Carolyn here, one discussion. Should we now add the motions that we passed tonight? We passed A and B and C.
Yeah, we should.
Should we add that to the report?
Mm-hmm.
With the dates and the same format?
We should.
switch?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
All right, so those will be added to the report.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it'll be 8, 9, and 10. Correct?
Yes.
Right.
The ABC. All right.